Good evening, and welcome to another Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White. Tonight we have a really interesting guest. His name is Bub Hill, who channels an entity named Josiah. In the spring of 2000, Bub and his wife were holding meditation gatherings in their home. While leading the meditation groups, Bub began saying things that didn't seem to originate from his personal thoughts. At first, he would stop the meditation to get back on track. However, the others in the group were saying that he was just getting to the good stuff, and then he stopped. He agreed that if a loving entity wished to contact the group, he would be willing to act as a channel. At their next meditation, an entity that called himself Josiah began communicating with the group. There are some interesting stories surrounding their first attempts to record the sessions, so let's welcome Bub to the show and find out more about this process. Hi, Bub. How are you?
Hi, Lance. I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, good. Good.
Good.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to talk to you briefly yesterday, and you had some interesting stories about how this began and how the recording process began, too. But before we get into that, I just want to say that I was just rereading some of this material, and it's really outstanding material. This is some of the highest channeled material that I've read. And, you know, I've been a big fan of some other channels, you know, Cryon and a few others, but this is really top-drawer stuff. So I just wanted the audience to know that you, this material that you've that's coming through you is just outstanding.
Well, thank you, but I really can't take the credit for that because I...
Oh, I know. I'm glad you said that.
basically I just meditate and go to sleep, and I'm really not aware of what's being said.
So, uh-huh.
As I said, I really can't take the credit for what's being said.
Yeah.
And I listened to your introduction as to how we started, and that's pretty much how we started. I was a little reluctant at first to be involved in that process, and some of the first channelings were quite slow because I had a tendency to try to do my own editing before I would say what was coming through. And as a consequence, some of them were quite slow, and sometimes all the information that was coming didn't necessarily get through. So, But as time went on, I just found it more and more comfortable for me to just get right out of the way and go into a deeper meditation so that I didn't really interfere, and it's quite seldom now that I even remember anything that's being said during the channeling process. So. But yeah, it was quite interesting at the beginning. We had all kinds of troubles with recordings. The first few recordings didn't record at all, and we asked Josiah what might be the problem, and they just suggested that it would be best if we took our recorder and removed it from the middle of the group because the energy from the group was affecting the recording more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
So when we did that, things improved considerably, and we began to get some recordings. But as I said to you last night, there's still times if we use a tape recorder where parts of it are not recorded, and we can still only record on one side of the tape. If we turn it over, the other side doesn't record at all.
Huh.
And it's not that it doesn't record, it's that there's a sound there. There's a like a vibration-type sound, but there are no words recorded.
Huh. Didn't you mention also that there were a couple of instances where where Josiah had actually kept the recording from recording a certain answer that they didn't want to come through?
Right. Once we started becoming more public, and we now do an open channeling on the first Sunday of every month, and at that channeling we have a question and answer period, as well as a regular channeling. We usually do the regular channeling, which lasts 45 minutes to an hour.
Uh-huh.
And we take a little break, and then we channel again. And during that session, there's a question and answer period. And some people ask some personal questions. And if it's a question that Josiah feels the answer is just for one person and not for the public in general, then that answer is usually not recorded.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, we had several sessions where the question would be on the recording, but then there would only be that vibration noise that I spoke about that would be on for the answer. But then if the next question started again, the recorder started to work again.
Wow.
So they asked Josiah what was the problem, and that was Josiah's response was that that answer was for that specific individual and not meant to be delivered to the public, and so they were just interrupting that part of the recording.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we had some other interesting things happen as well. There's been several times when there's been more than one voice recorded on the tape recorder that the people that are in the group only heard one voice. They never heard the double voice. But when you listen to the recording, you can hear two voices, one over top of the other. And the one is Josiah or some entity speaking to me in my subconsciousness.
Wow.
That's an entirely different subject than what's being spoken about in the channeling.
Wow.
Some of that stuff is interesting.
Wow. You also had an instance or two where the tape was 45 minutes, but you had like an hour's worth of recording on it?
Right. Yeah.
Huh.
When that's happened a couple of times, and when that happens, when you listen to the recording, it sounds like the chipmunks that you hear recorded on the radio. And if you use a dictaphone and slow it down, you can get it slow enough so that it sounds like normal voice. But yeah, there's been well over an hour's recording done on a 45-minute cassette.
Wow. Just so that the audience has a better idea, can you tell us more about who the entity Josiah is? As I understand it, it's an entity which has never had a physical incarnation on our Earth.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say that they're an entity that has never experienced an incarnation, never been in what they call our vibrational level.
Hmm.
They refer to our existence as a vibrational level, and they tell you that they use that terminology simply because it's something that we can grasp in our understanding of some type of an explanation of the plane of existence or whatever you want to call it that we live in. And they claim they've never been here, and in fact, when asked about that, they claim that they don't have any desire to be here and even wonder why we would ever choose to be here. But
well, believe me, that thought has occurred to me a number of times, especially lately.
So yeah, they claim to have never been here. We asked them why the name Josiah, and they said that's just a name more to accommodate us than any other reason.
Right, right.
We could have chose any name we wanted to sell.
Interesting.
Just a name.
Yeah. I like the way that Josiah defines an entity as a piece of the One, that an entity is a spark of consciousness, such as we are ourselves, representing a piece of the One. So they don't actually refer to the One as God or the Creator, the Source, I guess. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. They claim that we are a piece of the One, and that we are equal to and no more and no less than any other piece of the One that exists, not only in our vibrational level, but in any of the vibrational levels. So what they're saying basically is that we are no more and no less than anything or anyone else that exists anywhere.
It sure seems that there's a discrepancy in the way that we experience ourselves, though, that way. Doesn't it seem that way?
Yeah. their basic message is that we are here by choice and that we create our reality, and that one of the main reasons that we are here, or the main reason that we are here, is to have an opportunity to experience certain types of feelings and emotions in a situation where we believe that we're not in control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's our choice to believe that we're not in control. That we put up that veil, or whatever you want to refer to that energy that keeps us from understanding who we are while we're awake in our conscious state.
Uh-huh. I also like the way that they define the veil. That was one of the things that I found that they clarified for me personally, that there's a collective veil that keeps us keeps other entities from intruding on our reality. In other words, it's a whole different way of seeing things, that we created the veil to keep others out from messing with our creation, and that there's a personal veil that we can thin or thicken, and we have a little bit more control over the personal veil. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, right. And that's, and you've pretty much put it in a nutshell there. They say that there is a veil that exists, and it's that we create the veil. It's an they use the term electromagnetic type of energy, although they've said many times that it's not an exact explanation, but it's something that's as close as what we can come to understand.
Uh-huh.
And that this electromagnetic type of energy exists throughout our whole universe, throughout our whole creation, and that's, it serves two purposes. And one of those purposes is to not allow us to understand, or to make it so that it's difficult for us to understand who we are when we're in our awake conscious state. And the second purpose of it is so that we are not influenced or interfered by any entity that exists outside of our vibrational level.
Huh.
They have also said many times, though, that there is no one existing outside of our vibrational level who really has any desire to interfere. You know, it's just we don't have a bunch of entities, in other words, sitting out there trying to get in to screw with our minds or to try to change our reality.
Well, some people would disagree with that. According to some people, there are reptilians and grays and other ETs that are of a negative polarity who are not as interested in our welfare, who would like to interfere with our reality.
Right. But then I guess if you look at that, it begs the question of whether or not they exist outside of our reality or just are another part of the vibrational level that we live in.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point.
Yeah,
very good point.
Yeah. And, the irony of it is that if you begin to believe that you can create your reality and you can create whatever you want, then why can you not create entities that would influence your reality if that's what you want?
Right.
Yeah, Kaya says time and again that there is no right or wrong. You can have whatever you want. All you have to do is believe, and if you believe strong enough, then you'll create the reality that'll validate the belief. So.
Yes. That seems pretty accurate. I mean, it seems to be proving out time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And they speak of this experience on Earth as an interesting experiment that we... they talk a little bit about the prophecies that we've altered, that we changed them in the 1980s. I guess that would be the harmonic convergence.
Right.
And that it's slated to reach some kind of conclusion around 2012. Well, wouldn't that infer that we need to wake up to find out what we're supposed to be doing at the end of this game?
Well, I guess I guess I should give you an explanation or explain that I don't really read all of the stuff that I channel.
Uh-huh.
Probably one of the poorest people that you could be talking to as to what is said. Although I do, I have read a lot of the stuff or pretty much everything that's gone on the internet because I was doing the proofreading for it. So I have listened to it and I have read it. And they talk about certain things such as that shift in energy that you spoke of occurring by the year of 2012 as being something that's happened as a human consciousness agreement or concept that it would occur. But they said that it's going to be such a gentle type of a shift that for people who are not concerned or for people who don't believe in it, it's not going to really have an effect on their reality. That it's not something that if you're going to live on this earth that you're going to suddenly be awestruck with a change in our energy and your whole world is going to be turned upside down, in other words. But yet the opportunity to make change is probably going to be more prevalent at that time than what we've experienced up till now.
Huh.
And again, they always emphasize that that's our choice. There's no one else doing that.
Yeah.
They claim that we're the same people that were here when the pyramids were built and the same people that were here before those periods. We're just the same entities continuing to reincarnate and to be here. And so nothing is really going to change in terms of the people that are going to be here. Now, they've said several times that as we reach that period, while you may not necessarily make that shift or even recognize that there's been any shift in our energy that it comprises our reality existing, the new entities that are being born or the people that are reincarnating at that time, in all likelihood, and they continue to say in all likelihood because you always have free choice,
uh-huh.
but in all likelihood, those people will be people who will be more aware of that shift in the energy and will be more aware of their ability to create their own reality consciously.
Yeah, yeah. So that makes a lot of sense, especially if you've done any research or reading about the indigos and the crystals and some of the new kids that are showing up on the planet.
Right. And as I explained to you last night, I haven't read any of that stuff for years, and so when someone comes to me and says, well, that's what they've read in this book or in that book, like, for example, I've been told several times that much of the information that I channel has been stuff that's been expressed in books like Conversations with God and
uh-huh.
a lot of the other channeled material. And the part that always impresses me when I hear those statements and validates what I'm channeling is probably, as close to the truth as you're going to get, is that I've never read those books. So, it's just a confirmation not only that what I'm channeling is probably accurate, but that what those people were channeling is probably accurate as well. You know, one confirms and supports the other,
uh-huh.
which is a good thing, especially when I know that there's a good chance that those people have never read any of the Josiah material, and I've never read any of their material.
Right,
and yet we continuously, as channels, have the same information coming through us. So,
that is definitely a validation, and I think I mentioned that I've read a lot of different material, and a lot of what comes through you, through Josiah, does map over a lot of the other of the top channels, and like you said, Conversations with God. There's material in there that overlaps this material, but it's and some of it is quite new too. I mean, the stuff about the veils and the way that it's expressed is quite fresh. So,
mm-hmm.
And I like the way that they're as excited to know about us as we are interested in learning about them too.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like there's a great deal of respect and honor that comes from their side of the veil.
Right, and it's always been that way, right from the day we started. It's
uh-huh.
been the same way. And it's really interesting how consistent they are. We have a lady that's been coming to our group right from the very beginning,
uh-huh.
and she asked a question here about a year or so ago about a statement that they made in a channeling.
Uh-huh.
And they told her that if you went back to the very first recording that we ever did back in the year of 2000, that you would find they made that statement in that very first channel, so it was not new.
Wow.
And so she went back and pulled the tapes out, of course, and checked it, and sure enough, they had made the same statement the very
wow.
first time they'd ever channeled. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you ever have questions for them personally that you asked to have worked into the session?
When I first started, I had lots of questions,
uh-huh.
I didn't really get the answers when I was channeling necessarily, but I would get the answers when I was, usually I was standing in the shower in the morning and I'd be thinking of some of those questions,
uh-huh.
and then it would be like I'd have a voice in my head and the answer would be perfectly clear and it would make all it just makes perfect sense. But by the time I finished drying and got out of the shower and I'd go to tell my wife about, I just got an answer to this question that had been bothering me, the words that had been used to explain the answer were gone, but the question was no longer a problem. It was answered. And it was almost like in a dream, when you wake up from a dream.
Uh-huh.
The first wake up, it seems to be so fresh and you're sure you can remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
But 5 minutes later, it starts to get pretty fuzzy and you have trouble putting it all together and making reason out of it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was like that. And once those questions were answered, then I pretty much get more and more out of the way. And now for the last probably 6 years or 5 years, I don't remember anything at all that's being said during the channelings. I just go on a meditation, and it's not that I don't remember what I'm meditating, but I am not aware of what's being said during the channeling.
So is the sensation as if a moment has passed and then you come out of it?
Yeah, I have no conscious awareness of passage of time. I'm always surprised, in fact, when it's been an hour or so, when it only seems like it's been a couple of minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also not aware of the physical conditions around me. Like, there's many times when I channel, the temperature in the room goes up tremendously, and I'm just wringing wet from perspiring.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not aware of that until I finish the channeling.
Huh.
I don't feel any kind of physical sensation at all. And quite often, if it's an intense channeling, they tell me that I sit right up on the edge of my chair and I cross my legs and I almost use my ankles to support my weight.
Huh.
And I'm not aware of that either, but I know that I've been doing something because my ankles are so sore afterwards.
Huh. Interesting.
From channelings, that it's amazing that you could do that and not be aware of what's happening.
Do they? I know some channels come through with various accents and Irish brogues and lots of flourishments. Does Josiah come through with any kind of altered voice?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like me at all. And there's quite an accent, and they struggle over some of the most minute words. You know, the simplest words. They struggle to say those, and yet some very complicated phrases that I would have trouble saying, they just rattle that off.
Interesting.
To it, so.
Interesting. Well, it also makes sense, too, that they mentioned that our language is very limited and that, you know, they have to use the framework that we're accustomed to speaking in. And you know, but we all know that our language doesn't even begin to express realities that are invisible or that come from other places. Does it seem that the veil is going to be thinning, that we'll be able to communicate more with entities on the other side?
Well, and I guess that then, you know, now you're getting into some of my own personal beliefs, and like I told you last night, I'm probably one of the least spiritual person that you're ever going to meet. And I don't think that what I do is all that extraordinary. I mean, I'm just an average guy. I'm not into any type of spiritual beliefs or, you know, systems that I follow. I don't have any rituals that I do.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I do is I try to meditate on a regular basis. Other than that, and I must admit, when I meditate on that regular basis, it's for personal reasons. I usually have something that I want. I either want to calm my mind, or there's something that I want to have happening in my reality or my physical health that I would like to work on. I usually have a reason, and it's usually personal. I'm not.
You're no saint.
I don't think I'm going to heal the world.
Well, I like that. That seems like a really great place to be in. You know.
And so, you know, when you ask me things like about whether or not we're going to thin the veil, you see, I don't think that there's a problem for anyone to do what I do. I don't think that what I do is all that difficult or all that complicated.
Uh-huh.
It's perhaps a little difficult to trust enough to allow yourself to be put into that position, but
yes,
everybody could be put there. I don't think that it's something that's beyond anybody's means or ability to be able to do.
Yeah.
It's like meditation. I teach the odd meditation class, and I keep it simple. I think meditation has been put into a situation where people believe that it's a complicated process, difficult to learn to do, and it really isn't. It's not hard at all. It's a very, very simple thing to do, and if anyone can concentrate on one particular item for even as little as 5 to 10 minutes, you can meditate. It's really that easy. It's not a difficult thing to do.
Well, you know, even though I host this radio show and I have dozens of evolved, highly spiritual people and you know, people who don't, you know, are like yourself, that don't claim to be spiritual, I don't meditate. And I, you know, sometimes I feel kind of foolish when I say that, because I just haven't been able to do it. Do you have any tips, know, since this is something that you're really good at, what do you recommend for people who would like to meditate?
Meditation is, first of all, determine what it is that you want to do.
Okay.
You know, what do you expect to get out of it? And understand that meditation is a very simple process. And one of the biggest things about meditation is to still the mind.
Uh-huh.
Most people have trouble stilling the mind because they don't realize that the key to stilling the mind is to think about one thing rather than a bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
And so people try to think about nothing. That becomes very difficult to think about nothing. That takes a lot of practice to get to that point where you can continuously put your thoughts out of your mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I meditate, when I start, I concentrate on my breathing. I simply breathe in and out, and I count my breath coming in and my breath going out, and I never count above three.
Okay.
You try to get a high number, you find yourself concentrating on the number.
Uh-huh.
If you forget the number, then you wonder where you were at, and you lose the whole purpose of the concentrating on one thing. So I count my breath, and I concentrate on my breath going in and out.
Okay.
And when I get to the point, and it doesn't take me very long now, only I very seldom count above three, and I've already begun my shift, and then I can hear my heartbeat, and
okay.
I shift from counting my breath to counting my heartbeat. And any thoughts that come into my mind, and my technique is a technique that I use that anyone can use, but almost any technique will work. You see, what's important is not that you necessarily use anybody else's technique, but that the technique you work is one that you feel comfortable with, and it, you know, it helps you. It's
right.
One that works.
Right.
What I do is imagine any thought that I get, I put it into a helium balloon, and I let the balloon float off.
Oh.
I visualize it going away, and then I get back to counting my breath or counting my heartbeat again. Some people take their thoughts and lock them into a box and lock the key. And so it doesn't matter what the process is, as long as you use some type of an imaginary process to get the thoughts out of your mind.
Okay.
And they're gone. And then go back to whatever it is that you're concentrating on. And I say I concentrate on my breath. I have a friend of mine who simply says over and over, relax. That's his mantra, so to
okay.
speak. Just says relax, relax, relax. And concentrates on that one item. So the key is to find a very simple thing to concentrate on and to concentrate on it.
Uh-huh.
And if you spend 5 to 10 minutes a day and you do it on a regular basis, and don't be hard on yourself if you miss. You
okay.
know, don't say, well, I'm not getting there, or I forgot to do it today, or whatever. That's not important. Like Josiah has said so many times when they have given the same type of instructions for meditating,
uh-huh.
they say people will meditate for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they might miss a day. And then they concentrate on that one day that they've missed instead of concentrating on the 3 or 4 weeks that they did it every day.
Right.
So, and then the one day that you missed becomes the one that seems to have the most importance, when it's actually not even 10% of the time that you've missed. So you concentrate on the 90%, not the negative aspect of it.
We really do tend to be hard on ourselves, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have a tendency to concentrate on those times when we think we failed,
yep.
rather than all the times that
yep.
we didn't fail.
Yep, and we love to play the victim and disempower ourselves, you know,
yes.
as if we don't have any charge over our reality at all.
Yep.
But when you read the transcripts, what are some of the most inspirational messages that came through for you personally?
I don't know.
Are any of them? Does it just kind of sound like gobbledygook?
You know, I'm
the worst person.
I'm probably one of the worst people to ask, because it takes a lot to convince me that something is supposed to be one way or not the other way, which is one of the difficulties
yeah.
that I had when I started this channeling business,
uh-huh.
was trying to convince myself that some of these things that were coming through were possibilities, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just somebody talking. But I guess the thing that probably impresses me the most is not so much of what they say, but their ability to say things that answer the questions that people, even groups of people, have. When we do a channeling, I never ever know what's being said, or as I said before, I'm not even aware when it's all done of what's
uh-huh.
said. But quite often there are people in the group who have questions, and I'm always amazed that their questions are answered. I was down in California, in Los Angeles, channeling, and I was channeling actually for a doctor, and they kept telling the doctor, I never did hear the channeling, but the doctor was telling me afterwards that they told him several times that he had a problem that he had to deal with, and he should deal with it pretty quickly. And it didn't make any sense to him when he had the channeling, but when he got home, he went and had a checkup, and it turned out that he had a very aggressive type of cancer.
Huh.
And he said once he found out what he had, when he re-listened to the tape, everything made sense to him then.
Wow.
And during the tape, it didn't make any sense at all to him.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean to lead people to believe that I'm, you know, into the position where I can help them with any problems that they have, because that's not, you know, that's not what I do at all.
Right. But there are some things that do come out for people when they...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a few times there are things that come out. And I've done channeling for people where they've had a whole full scap of questions written out.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm done, I've asked them, did they answer your questions? And they said, oh, yeah, they answered the questions before they were even asked. They never asked one question. They just sat there and listened. And the questions, they were ticking them off down the page. They were all answered in the order they had them written on the page.
Wow.
So those things always amaze me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that there's that ability. And there's other things. When we channel, we have some people now, probably a half a dozen people that come on a regular basis. And those people don't come to listen to the channeling. They come to meditate.
Huh.
They don't hear the channeling. They're just like me. They're gone. They're meditating. And they're getting a different message. We've had people come for, like, drive all day, literally drive for 8 or 10 hours to get here and sit down in a strange place and listen to a channeling and meditate through the whole thing. And when they wake up, know that they got a message, but tell me that they never heard a word that was said during the channeling.
Huh.
Just got a private message through a meditation.
Yeah.
And Josiah, on pretty much every channeling that we do, they will instruct the people that if they wish to, they would get more out of it if they would close their eyes and shift their consciousness, that the message that they would get telepathically would be far more important and beneficial to them than the message that they're trying to give through me. So.
Huh. That's right. They do mention that they communicate telepathically as well, that there's quite a bit of information that they communicate that's between the lines.
Right. And I would think that half of the groups that listen go into that meditative state. They don't hear what's being said, or certainly don't hear all of what's being said. They may hear certain parts, but they don't hear all of what's being said. They'll say afterwards, well, they were here for part of it, but they had shifted for most of it.
Uh-huh. Now, that's a meditation that you have there in your home in Saskatchewan?
We do now. When we were starting this, we were doing it in our home, but we've now moved to a bigger, more public facility than in our home.
I would think you have quite a following by now.
Well, we're getting to have a fair group. Some people come for 3 or 4 sessions, and then we don't see them again for 6 months or so, and then they're back again for a few more sessions, and so... There's probably a half a dozen regulars that are there almost every time that we channel, but then there are that group that rotates, and as I said, they're there for a few times and then feel probably that they've got what they need and don't come back for a few more times. And so, yeah, but we do have a pretty good following. Yeah, we're...
Now, you also post your channeled material on your website, is that correct?
Yes.
Would you give out your website now so that people can...
The website is josiah.com, and Josiah is spelled J-O-S-H-I-A-H.
.com. And then your book, which is really excellent. I mean, this is one of the best books on channel material that I've ever read. It's called Josiah, Conscious Creation... channeled by Bob Hill. And then,
right.
Is that your only book right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. When we did that book, we'd probably been channeling for a year or a year and a half, and we had several thousand pages of material.
Wow!
And we were trying to go through the material and had a bunch of basic headings where we were trying to find sentences or paragraphs that dealt with certain things, such as reincarnation. And as you know, if you looked in the book, there's I believe there's a chapter in there on Atlantis and some of those prehistoric times.
Yes.
And so we were trying to go through all of these thousands of pages of material that we had transcribed and to pick out the various topics.
Uh-huh.
And it was really difficult.
Yeah, I would think.
Because each channeling pretty much is a standalone type of channeling, and so it's difficult to go through them and choose certain topics.
Yeah.
So we had been trying for quite a while, so we went to Josiah, and when I was channeling, the group asked Josiah if they could help us with the book, and they said yes, if that's what you want to do, then they would help with the book.
Huh.
So they did a channeling, and we listened to that channeling, and we thought, oh, this will be a good chapter, like it was a whole chapter.
Wow.
So we worked on that chapter, transcribed it, got it ready to go in the book, and then they had continued to channel, and we would listen to another channel and think, oh, that's another good chapter. And we would take that one and put it in the book. And it probably took us about 6 months by the time we had all the transcripts done and all lined up in the book, and we decided which way we would put the chapters together and how the book would go. And so then I thought, well, I best go into all of this channel material and find out which transcripts we used in the book so that I didn't duplicate them somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I did that, I went back and I found out that from the time we had asked Josiah, and the first channeling that they did was, I believe it's chapter two, it's the first chapter is a public or a private channeling that they did for myself. And then I believe chapter two is the first one that they did that night that we asked for help. And within the next 10 days, all the chapters were given in the order that we put them in the book. And the whole book was given to us within the next 10 days.
Wow. Amazing.
In exactly the order that we've utilized in the book.
Wow. Well, it's really well done. I mean, really well done. You did a wonderful job on the book.
So we can't take credit for that because, as I say, well, they gave it to us in 10 days just in the order that it was that you read it in the book. So.
Well, when you go back into a meditative state in your channeling, be sure and have somebody say, let them know that that I said they did a great job.
Okay. So, yeah, those all of those little coincidences are, you know, they're really interesting.
Yes.
They just sort of add some validity to the ability. Because there's no way that an individual could sit down and over the course of dictating for 3/4 of an hour at a time in 10 days give you that book just as you see it presented.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And the irony of it is that my introduction that I tried to write took us longer to put together than it did to put all the channel material together. There were far more errors with my vocabulary and with my writing ability than there was with all of Josiah's through the whole book. So.
Well, the introduction was well written, too.
Yeah, well, that was courtesy of all everybody in the group helping me.
Well, that's good. That's very nice. That it sounds like a wonderful group of people.
Yeah, we have a good group. And the basic group pretty much attends most of the channeling, so it's been really good.
So if people want to attend those channelings and they're in your area, which is in Saskatchewan, Canada, they would go to your website and contact you through your website.
Right, and the address is on the website where we hold the meetings.
Wow, I wish I was closer.
Yeah, they're the first Sunday of every month, and we start at 2 o'clock, and we've only missed about twice in the past 7 years. So.
That's wonderful, and such great material. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Now, some channels speak of an upheaval and drastic earth changes prior to or during the shift that we're creating, that apparently we're creating ourselves as a collective. Do they Do they speak about any of that, or is it pretty much that they put that in our hands?
Yeah, they put it in our hands. They don't say that's not possible, but they don't say that it is possible.
Yeah.
There have been people who have asked for predictions, and they just very, very seldom give them, and they don't give them because they say that it's within our control to create our reality and do what we want. So, well, we may hold a belief system as a society or as a human consciousness that we're going to have certain catastrophes happen in our reality. It's within our ability to change that. So it's pretty hard to give any type of a prediction. And I guess they continue to say many times that when they talk about us creating the reality, they're not just talking about us creating the day-to-day interactions and activities that we have with other people. They are suggesting that we as a group create the entire universe that we exist in.
Wow.
That we're the entire creators, and therefore it's within our control to change it.
Wow.
So it becomes very difficult to give a prediction. And the couple of times that they have given predictions, they've been extremely accurate. But the predictions have always taken place within a week or so. It's not something that's been a long term. We had someone ask a question one time about what was happening in China with regards to meditation, and they told us that we would be receiving some information about that shortly, and it wasn't long after that that a lady from Regina, which is a city about 45 miles away from us here, came to a channeling, and she said that she had heard through a friend of hers in Switzerland a group of people in China who were being persecuted because they were meditating and practicing Buddhism.
Really?
And so, you know, we got the confirmation that they said we would have, and it was right to the day that we said we would get that information.
Wow.
And then there was another time they said that there would be a catastrophe happen on the West Coast, but that there would be a pretty drastic type of occurrence, but that there would be very little injury to any humans, and it was, again, within a week there was an earthquake off the shore of Vancouver, a very large earthquake, but nobody was hurt, you know, or very, you know, very slight injuries. So
it just occurred to me that if this started around 2000, that in 2001, when wasn't that when the 911 stuff happened?
9/11. Yeah.
Did anything hit the radar screen at that time?
No. When people asked questions about it, they spoke about it, but never, you know, didn't make a big deal about it. And I guess, you know, we look at it because it's in our particular society, and it happened in North America, as being a really, really big deal. But when they were asked about it, they said in comparison to some of the other disasters that have happened around the world that while this is not small by any means, it certainly isn't one of the greatest disasters that have hit us.
Right.
It's in our time, you know.
It's
something that we can relate to because it happened now.
Right.
You know, but there have been a lot of disasters. I know there have been questions. They've questioned them about the Holocaust and all the people that died, and they said, you know, that was a tragic occurrence, but you have to understand that people chose to be involved in that activity, and we make a big deal out of the 3 or 4 million Jews that were persecuted during the Holocaust, but we seem to forget about the 20 million Russians that were killed at the same time in that same conflict. So,
That's right.
Different perspective. They just look at things differently than what we do, because we look at it from our perspective as being either the victims or because it directly affects us.
Right.
And they just look at it as being one of the elements of our creation that we choose to participate in.
Right.
Yeah, they just have an entirely different outlook. And they never condemn anything.
Right.
They never look at anything and say, well, that's bad. You know, you shouldn't have done that. Or that's good. You know, you should do that. They just say you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's your choice. If that's what you want to do as an individual or as a society or as a human consciousness, it's your choice. Go for it.
Well,
you know, we look at it as right or wrong in our conscious mind.
That's right.
But when the part of us that creates it creates what it is that we desire and doesn't judge whether or not that's right or wrong,
right,
it gives us whatever it is that we desire to experience. And according to Josiah, it does so consistently, and it never fails. It gives us exactly whatever it is that we want to have.
So if you believe in limitation and lack, then that's what you
get.
Exactly.
And it's not wrong, just the choice that you've made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the secret is, you've probably heard of the secret now.
I was just going to ask you about that. You must have read my mind.
It seems to be the big thing now. I did watch a friend of mine gave me the CD, and I watched it once, and he asked me, you know, well, he was been watching it every day, and he asked me, did you watch it again and again? I said, no, I watched it once. It tells me something that Josiah has been saying, you know, if you hold it in your mind, if you believe it, you'll experience it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not only will, but you do. That's the irony, is that you do it, whether or not you want to believe you do it. To believe that you don't do it is to make a choice as well. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, it seems that that would indicate that we would need to be more conscious of our thought processes. If we really do believe that we create our reality, then it would be more advisable to be aware of what our thoughts are, what thoughts we're entertaining.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that as well has its limitations. If you believe that every thought that you have is going to have an effect, well, that can be quite devastating. But if you believe that it's something that you have to dwell on for a while and hold it in your thought process before it really comes into being, well, then it allows you to have all kinds of thoughts that you maybe shouldn't be having and not necessarily have them affect your reality. So
right, right.
It depends on what you believe. You know, what do you believe?
Well, you know, modern quantum physics, modern, what's modern in this crazy world? Quantum physics is saying that we're actually non-local entities, and so it would indicate that we might be, that we're much larger than what we are believing that we are. And as you said, Josiah says that we are the creators of the whole universe.
Right.
You know, I mean, it seems inconceivable, and yet something about that rings totally true to me.
Right.
So
for years, I ran a little business. For 15 years, I ran a business in a village called Briarcrest.
Uh-huh.
Briarcrest is 150 people located right in the middle of nowhere,
uh-huh.
Literally. And when I built my shop there, everybody thought I was crazy for building a shop there. But I'd been involved in the agricultural business, and my kids were going to school in that community. So
oh.
While the kids were going to go to school, I wasn't going to pull them out of school. I was going to leave them in that community. And so I started a little business in this village of Briarcrest.
Oh.
And I never advertised. I sold archery equipment is what I did. And I never advertised in anything other than the phone book. And I had clients and customers all the way across Canada and all across the United States. And my only method of attempting to bring business was to sit down in the morning and meditate for 15 or 20 minutes before I started work, and envision my phone ringing and clients coming, and that's what I did.
Wow. Wow.
And I, for 15 years, we were never ever had a day when I didn't have business.
Wow.
So, well, you know, does it work? Well, it worked for me. I'm not going to say that. You know, again, I mean, it's what do you believe? If you think it can work, I think it's within your possibility to do so.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so when I saw the secret or heard of that, I thought, well, yeah, that works. I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do those things, then you can have whatever it is that you desire to have, you know.
Oh, I agree with that, too. I know one person that does healing work in a group that I'm involved with has seen it 150 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so enthralled by it that she started teaching, you know, methods of using the secret. But, you know, there's a lot more to it than just the secret, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to believe. And their technique is to do it in a certain way. But I'll bet you that everyone that was on that CD that was involved in the making of The Secret all utilized slightly different methods.
Yes.
And yet all had the same result because they believed that it would work.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So I think that the belief is far more important than the particular method that you want to use. And again, if you read some of the Josiah material, they'll say that time and time again,
mm-hmm.
that the technique or method that you utilize is not nearly as important as your belief in that method. If you don't think it's going to work, it probably won't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
One thing I'm curious about is, do they ever, did they, in all those different channels, has the group ever offered any clues or insight as to what the one that we will call God is about? I mean, that what is that entity that we're all part of, that we're all
a
part of?
And again, they tell you that it can't be put into words.
Okay.
That there cannot be an explanation. They tell you if you want to have that experience, if you want to get an understanding of that, then you should go with inside. And they use that term with inside, which is not good English, but it's a word that they use all the time. You should go with inside yourself,
okay.
And either through meditation or just calming your mind,
uh-huh.
And you will find the answers. Answers that not only they can't give to you, but that you won't find written in any book or in any type of information.
Wow.
It's rather ironic when they say time and again that all they do is tell us what we want to hear. That's all they're doing is giving us the information that we already know.
Right.
We just choose to hide from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're not telling us anything that's not available to every one of us. And they tell you the way to find that is not necessarily to look for it, even in their information,
uh-huh.
but rather to close your eyes and learn to meditate and go with inside and you'll get the answers.
Well,
much more clear than what you will get by trying to read it or trying to listen to even the channeled material or whatever method.
Well, to me, that's the real litmus test of any information that I pick up outside myself, is that, you know, if they encourage you to go within and that is where the answers are, then that's usually an indication that it's an authentic source.
Right. They've used the example several times that they have never existed in our reality.
Mm-hmm.
How would you expect them to have knowledge that's not available to us? And they use the analogy that it's like you're living next door to your neighbor, and you, in your house, sit here and expect to possess all the knowledge of your neighbor's activities,
huh.
and have more knowledge of your neighbor than what they would have of themselves.
Huh.
This doesn't make sense. And in comparison, for them to sit outside of our reality and have more knowledge of what we're doing within it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They just tell us what we want to hear. They just give us the information that we are suggesting. That's what we want to hear this day, and so that's what they tell us.
Huh.
And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why when I say people have questions, but they're always answered, it's simply that all Josiah is doing is telling them what they want to hear.
Right.
Giving them the answers to the questions and again, telling us information that we already know, we just choose to ignore.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I find that sometimes I have to hear something dozens and dozens of times for it to sink in. And even then, sometimes the veil, the consciousness veil, or whatever you want to call it, seems to get a little bit thicker some days, and sometimes I don't comprehend something that was just like an ABC the day before.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if you find that for yourself, that consciousness seems to vary from day to day, but...
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it does vary, and it seems... As much as I'd like to say it's within my control, I honestly can't say that.
And we all have those days.
Oh, yes.
No doubt about it. For sure.
Have you had positive feedback as a result of these channelings?
Yes, we have people all over the world now that come to our website. I haven't looked at the website probably for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but the last time I was looking, we were getting several thousand hits on a regular basis. Like we're into the thousands of hits every day, and I consistently get comments from people from various parts of the world telling us that they appreciate what we're doing. I've had people come from as far away as Australia to be involved in the channeling.
That's
people
wonderful.
From all across Canada, and so yeah, it's been quite gratifying sometimes. As I said to you the other night, there were times when I thought of quitting channeling, and every time I think, well, I don't need to do this anymore, I'll get some encouraging email from somebody that says it's had a tremendous impact on their life, and so I continue to do it. And
well, wonderful. Well, I'm certainly glad you do, Bob. And You know, I hate to say this, but we've gone through our hour already.
Okay.
We were both worried that we wouldn't be able to figure out what to say for an hour, and here we are, and I could go on chatting for another hour.
Well, it's gone pretty quick.
Thank you very much. And before we go, I want you to mention your website one more time. It's www.joshiah.com. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Wonderful. And, Bob, thank you so much for being my guest. It was an honor to have you, and I just love your work.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. And
you have a good night.
And thanks, audience, for being with us. And for tonight, that's a wrap. Good night, everybody.